Chris.
Marcus.
We're back.
Yes, sir.
We are back. We're live at Chandler. In Chandler. We're live in Chandler.
Live in
at
Chandler.
At Marley's.
At Marley's. Fashion Square Mall.
Fashion Square Mall. It's a little pocket awareness podcast. It's Marcus and Chris. Welcome back. Chris, we got a couple of new places for us to find us, huh? I think so.
We got some. We're getting ready for the new year, Marcus. We're getting ready for 2020.
Okay.
We're bringing it in with, we got a Facebook page.
Yes.
We got an Instagram account.
We got an Instagram account.
You just got to look for a little pocket awareness there.
A little pocket awareness on Instagram.
ALPA underscore QB1. Or just straight up ALPA QB1.
Okay.
You got both options. You can find us on all social media platforms. Facebook,
yes.
Twitter, Instagram.
Twitter's the same. ALPA underscore QB1. You can also follow me and Chris individually at King Manelos for Chris, at the Mark John NFL for me, Marcus. So we love giving you guys the show all year. We definitely looks like we got our biggest crowd yet.
Yeah, we got a nice amount of people here today, Marcus.
Yeah, we're doing okay, man. We're growing. It's the growth, Chris. We call that growth.
I think we got a lot coming in 2020. I think you know.
I think so.
We've been saying a little bit here, a little bit there. There could be a road game.
Yes.
There could be a road game to come.
Yes, it could.
And I will just kind of hint at that. We won't give you too many more details quite yet.
Exactly.
Not quite yet.
It could be. Yeah, definitely could be on the road a little bit.
Got to make sure you're following us on all of the social media platforms so that you can get all the information. Get out there on. On iTunes and Spotify, hit those reviews.
Hit the reviews, yeah. Hit
the
subscribe
button. We got a few more.
That's hey,
We're still sitting at 5 stars right now.
I think we might have to call this episode growth, Chris, because I feel like this is.
Well, we gotta be careful.
We gotta be careful with that.
Be careful.
Right? Okay, so we do got some good things to cover today. We got some NFL executives weighing in on who should be the number one pick, and it gets very interesting. I got to read some of these quotes. It's going to be basically what I'm going to say. It's going to be an interesting draft process. It's going to be very interesting. We got an unruly Giants fan. He's mad. Eli played
for
half.
He's excited. He's excited because
okay.
Eli played a phenomenal
He probably
first
saw that
half.
17-3 was like, dog, he's back. Yeah, we were right. Who's Danny Dimes who? But, you know, Carson Wentz had like his first comeback of his lifetime. You ever see Carson Wentz come back from a deficit?
Did you see the article that came out that their backup quarterback, Mr. Josh McCown, was ready to step in and play wide receiver?
Oh, that would have been great.
Are you kidding me?
That would have been great. He's so athletic, so I definitely want to see him get open a little bit. We got a new special guest. You just listening, or what we got?
No, we got some new listeners.
Oh, okay, we got some new listeners.
We're paying attention to what's going on.
We're going to check out what the NFL executives went over about who should be the first draft pick. Like I said, it's very interesting. It's gonna be a fun process. We got Spygate Part
2.0.
And why are they watching the Bengals?
Why are they watching?
I don't know how much you need to see from Andy Dalton. I think you can see what you see from Andy Dalton up in the box.
Yeah,
that's
I think yeah, you might already
you
know what's going. I think you might already know what's going on there.
All right, and then we got Jared Goff. Is he back or was 2 good weeks in a row? What's going on? We'll talk about that. We got Jimmy G and the Niners versus the Saints. That game.
That was a good game.
We get to decide. I mean, Jimmy G kind of pushed the Niners forward. Didn't have a good defense that week. Is Jimmy G for real? Can he lead them to the Super Bowl? That'll be a discussion. Do a little college football playoff talk. You know, talk about the quarterbacks in there. What we think of those guys and who's going to push through that. And then if we get to it, we'll talk about Ryan Tannehill.
Marcus, we've said a lot about him already. And I'll allow it. I'll allow it. But let's be honest now. Let's be honest.
It was the Raiders' defense. I agree.
You know why we're bringing up Tannehill?
Why?
We're bringing up Tannehill to give Marcus 2 minutes of his Raider rant.
My Raider rant.
His Raider rant.
So you want me to? Yeah. Yes. The Raiders.
For those new to the podcast here today at Marley's, Marcus is a diehard Raiders fan.
Yes.
So
all day.
He's gonna get some time. He's gonna get some time to voice his concerns.
Yeah.
And we're gonna give him We're going to give him a few minutes to get it out. We're going to give him a few minutes to get it out.
You know, I do got a few minutes to get it out. I just want to talk about, you know, my man John.
Are we doing it now? We're doing the Raider rant right now?
Let's get it out. My man John. I've got a couple questions, man. I mean, we've been playing for 3 weeks. We have three losses in a row. And I keep saying we. I don't care. But we had three losses in a row. They've been playing the same coverage against you for 3 weeks. Like, teams are like, Josh Jacobs, run the ball. We're going to stop Derek. And, like, you haven't adjusted, bro. Like, you got to adjust. Like, you can't just watch the same tape and watch the same coverage and the same drop over and over and over. It's been about 200 snaps now. Like, come on, dog. Help your quarterback out.
Marcus, I got to give you a little bit of a shout-out on Twitter. some of the advanced statistics that you're throwing out there.
Yeah.
You know, you're not wrong to say that Derek Carr is having a good year statistically, and as you go into the sabermetrics of football.
Yes.
At the quarterback position. And this tweet will be featured this week.
Okay.
On the new Instagram page.
Okay.
Which will cascade into the Facebook page.
Yes.
It's very interesting to see Derek Carr up there with the league's best. And I think that you're 100% correct. If he had a wide receiver core, it could be a little bit different.
Yeah, or if he had a competent. See, I hate getting on Gruden. I just think Gruden's just too old school right now, and he's not seeing what's in front of him. And I feel like he's just trying to. My offense is going to work no matter what you do against it. And it's like, dog, like they're playing you a certain way. I think you got to – I mean, there's cover two beaters. It's like there's four verts. There's things you can do to beat cover two. So if these guys are showing you cover two, then maybe you should try to beat it. That's the end of my rant. That's all I got to say.
That's it?
All
right. Is that our defense rant?
Is terrible because Ryan Tannehill was just throwing to wide-open guys all game. He's just doing play action. The linebackers are bite. It'll be a wide-open guy. That's basically the whole game.
Yeah.
But whatever, man. I'm tired of the damn Raiders.
All right, there it is. The Raider rant.
Raider rant is over. All right, Chris. So let's get into some of these topics. Let's start off with the NFL executives weighing in. I got a
just a gut feeling here, Marcus. Yeah. I let you kind of keep this to yourself because I know that we needed a little reaction on the show.
Yes.
We do need reaction.
I have a gut feeling that you're going to get a few mic drops out of me to where I'm not going to be happy with what I hear from you.
It gets good.
Okay, yeah. It gets good. That's what I thought was going to happen.
It gets good. All right, so just a little background. So today on ESPN Plus, which is the new NFL Insider or whatever they used to call it.
Hey, if you get Disney Plus, ESPN Plus comes with it.
Yeah, we're not getting paid by Disney yet.
We can't pump that yet.
All right, so they did an article called Predicting the Top Pick in the 2020 Draft. NFL execs on Burrow, Tua, and Cincy. Okay? So, did a little breakdown of what they thought each quarterback would fit. So, they did Tua. They did Joe. And they did my boy Justin, too. But it's going to be interesting. You're going to be interested in how they bring up Justin. Okay?
Okay.
Because before I get into this, Chris, I don't think Herbert was supposed to be part of this article. So that's foreshadowing. I'm going to give you a little foreshadowing.
Oh, God.
He was not supposed to be part of this article. Okay?
Oh, God.
So, of course, the safe play they went with was Chase Young, of course, because he's a freakish athlete, best defense, elite, you can Heisman votes. He's at the Heisman this weekend for a defensive player. That's incredible. He's going to be a freakish athlete. He's probably going to run like a 4.5 or something, like 275 pounds. I don't know how big he is. He's quick. He's got a pretty good hand. I worry about his technique a little bit. I think he's just kind of just running around people and just tossing.
Yeah,
hands.
He's a little raw.
He's got a great motor,
he
so
is
it doesn't matter.
The best defensive player coming out of the draft.
So
I'm going to hit you with this real fast, real quickly. Heisman, the way that it's going to end up, Mr. Joe Burrow.
Hands down.
He's winning the Heisman.
Hands down.
Second place is going to be Mr. Young.
He's going to get two.
I'm going Fields at three. And then I'm actually a little surprised that Jalen Hurns
got
nominated. I would have rather have seen his wide receiver.
CeeDee Lamb.
I would have much rather see CeeDee as an option in the Heisman. But Jalen's ending four.
I think for the Heisman, I don't think there was that many standout players in college football this year for them to be like, this guy, this guy, this guy. You know what I mean? There wasn't that many standout players. So yep. I think that was their dilemma. But back to the NFL success. So, of course, they go with Chase Young. Of course, a couple of AFC success. Absolute freak. Most logical candidate for the number one pick. Teams will have the easiest time selecting him. So, yeah. Easy. All right, Chris. So, now we get to the quarterbacks. We got Joe Burrow.
He is the number one overall pick going to Cincinnati next year.
Uh-oh. Hold your horses.
Nope.
Lock it up. He should be. He should be. He should be, for sure.
I don't think the Bengals organization would make that big of a mistake. Now, if they go young over Burrow, if the Bengals go young over Burrow, I'm not upset about that. And I think that that is a realistic thing that the Bengals could do. But if you're going to go quarterback at number one this year, I'm telling you right now, before the 2019 year has come to an end, Joe Burrow is the number one overall pick.
He should be. I agree with that, Chris. He should be. Will he be? Let me keep going.
Oh, God.
So AFC personal director pulls out his phone to show a Joe Burrow clip. You know, he basically shows Joe Burrow getting knocked out and getting back up real quick. Calls him tough, right? So that's the great, right? So, you know, many evaluators, they think that Burrow shortened the gap with Tua well before the Alabama injury, right? But let's get to the concerns. These concerns.
What are you concerned about?
Let's get to them, Chris.
Oh, my God.
The concerns with Burrow are about pedigree, which helps explain why he was overlooked for years. He's not particularly thick. Stout guy, and he doesn't have a huge arm.
Did they call him stout? They said he's stout.
He's not a stout guy. He's not a thick stout guy.
How do you use the – if you want to use the word stout on a quarterback, maybe you should use it on guys like Kyler Murray. Not on guys like Joe Burrow. Isn't Joe Burrow 6'3"?
He's 6'4", 216.
Oh, my God.
He could easily gain 10 pounds, but that's a different conversation. Easily gain 10 pounds. Easy. And then what are you going to say? He can gain 15 pounds. From the time the college football ends to the NFL season, he can gain 15 pounds.
Did they seriously? That is that pedigree? That's what they're going to go with?
Yeah. It doesn't end there, Chris. It doesn't end there. He's overcome all that by the way he played. And the Alabama game helps him a lot. He's really a smart football player. Quite frankly, looked like a backup at best last year. Ooh. Even in training camp, I don't think anybody could have anticipated how well he's played. The debate is going to be, okay, how much is it him? How much is it Joe Brady's system? Thoughts, Chris. Give me your thoughts on that. Those quotes.
How far in are we? Are we even 10 minutes in?
We're 13 minutes in.
Marcus, I'm about to put down my microphone and walk away. You're joking.
See, the backup thing last year, I think it was a little overrated. Because even when I watched him last year, and I think I even talked about this earlier. Like, I watched the tape. I'm like, man, that guy looks pretty good. Why is nobody talking about this guy? I'm like, well, I guess because he's an LSU quarterback. They probably just think he's just another Danny Etling or something. But, I mean, man, he looked like he had some poise and made some good throws. But, you know, I guess they saw a backup. So, I mean.
How?
So, they're wondering. So what do you think about – What do you think they're blaming the system? Because I got some thoughts on that.
I could see blaming the system because of the history that is involved at LSU. I could see that. If it was the same damn offense that LSU used to run.
Yeah.
They changed it last year, and their offense took off immediately. Now, the change, I think, was done because of Burrow.
I think so, too.
Because of his ability, they made that change.
Yes.
I am in complete and utter shock, Marcus. You know what? I bet you that guy that's saying that about Burrows.
Yeah.
loved Mitch Trubisky coming out of college. I bet you. I bet you.
You think so?
I would almost put money on it that if you look back at the notes of his previous evaluation, this man loved Mitch Trubisky. I guarantee it.
So the system thing is what bothers me a little bit, because Joe Brady came from the Saints, right? Came from New Orleans. He installed a pro system. So if you install a pro system and the guy starts to look like a pro, maybe he could run a pro system. No?
And there's only one game this year that felt like a professional football game, and that was the LSU-Alabama game. So when he showed up and stuck it to Bama, you might, you know, not think pedigree's a problem.
like the system thing kills me, man. If you implement a NFL system around him, he can run it. Wow. Great job, Scout.
That kills me. That absolutely kills me. And it's going to get worse from here, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, my God.
Multiple evaluators say Burrow's arm won't make him a vertical threat like others in the draft, even though we just saw him roll to his right and throw the ball 450 yards on a dime in the SEC championship game. But anyways.
I know exactly who he's referencing to.
This is
why you were talking that sneaky talk about Justin Herbert, isn't it?
Yes.
Because
can he be a vertical threat in the draft? Although his stats show that perhaps that shouldn't be much of a concern. So ESPN points that out too. They're like he can't throw deep. And ESPN's like, well, he has 16 touchdowns and throws 20 plus air yards, which ranks first in SBS, and has 1,293 yards on those throws, which ranks second.
Gonna put me through a wall.
So, one ASC exec, he just summed it up right now, Chris. He doesn't look like a top quarterback. He has a slender frame. There would be concern for some teams.
He has a slender frame.
Slender frame. He's 216. He could put on 15 pounds.
I'm sorry. What did Kyler Murray weigh in at? Which wasn't even his playing weight. He weighed in
207.
He weighed in at 207 for the combine after 4 months of packing weight on. I guarantee you Kyler Murray doesn't play at more than 195. I guarantee you.
Because to be honest, all Joe Burrow has to do is go ahead, put on that 10-15 pounds for the draft. Don't run.
Oh, no, he cannot run.
And just throw.
Yep, just throw.
And then he's 6'4", 230, and then he's 230 and everything's checked.
Oh my God, Marcus. Do you have another one about Burrow?
No.
Is that
no.
what you're going to go to me next?
Okay. That's it.
You almost had me walk away. Like I was about to take a break.
So we're going
I was going to let you take the podcast from here and take a break.
So the NFL might not be as high on Joe as we think. Now, it all depends on if the Bengals are going to be high on Joe. That's really what this comes down to. But
here's where it comes down to. Today, December 11th, 2019, I am higher on Joe Burrow than I was on the last two draft classes.
Okay. Okay.
And we rated Lamar Jackson number 3 in his draft class.
Yes.
So we love Lamar as a pro. We knew that there was this potential in him.
Yes.
Joe Burrow's potential coming out of college, I rate him currently higher than the last two draft classes combined.
I'm very high on Joe, too, but I will say this. The NFL execs, what they're saying isn't too crazy.
Don't you dare. Don't you
dare. And the reason why I say it's not too crazy, because you know how my comparison for him was Matt Ryan, right? Remember me saying that, Chris?
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Okay, right. And Matt Ryan was like a top 3 pick, right? So that was I kind of gave him like some praise, like you're a first round pick. I see a lot of people comparing him to like Tony Romo and like you know, guys that didn't get drafted.
Well, so I what I
like a 6th round pick. Like one guy compared him to Tom Brady as a prospect, and I'm thinking, well, Tom Brady went in the 6th, bro. You gotta like.
Well, if you want to talk,
you're not helping his case by comparing him to Romo.
They're
going to
say his body type is like Brady's when he was coming out of
the way he plays.
Or the way he plays is.
You can't do those comparisons.
No, no, no.
Those guys weren't highly drafted.
Not at that point. Like all these characteristics that they're pointing out are what they're saying with who these guys ended up eventually being.
Yeah,
he's coming out of college with these type of comparisons for what these guys eventually turned into.
Yeah,
I think.
So, and I think people need to stop doing that. They got to relax. You can't compare him as a prospect to an undrafted guy. It doesn't make his case. And they're trying to make the case just because he plays quarterback so well. And I understand it. He does play quarterback awesome. He's one of the best quarterback prospects I've seen.
He's the best quarterback to come out of the SEC in a long time.
Just the way he plays quarterback. He's under control in the time, poised, handles pressure, throws under pressure. Can move, can make plays. He does all of that. I mean, he just has the arm that's a little questionable, and I understand why the NFL would question it. But I still think he could get stronger. That's just my opinion. I think he could get stronger. He's still
a kid, man.
Yeah, he's 22, 23, man.
He's still a kid.
All right. So let's go to the Tua conundrum. Is this what they call it?
The Tua conundrum.
Yeah. So, one NFC South said Tua over Burrow all day long.
I'll be back.
All right, guys. So, we lost Chris for a second.
I couldn't. Like, that's how you're going to come at me? I couldn't. I had to step away.
Just a quick second, but we're back.
I had to step away.
We're back.
Say it again. I won't walk away this time. I promise.
All right. Here we go. So back to this conundrum. So we got the NFC scout is Tua over Burrow.
And NFC.
NFC scout.
NFC. Okay.
Tua over Burrow all day long.
I'm trying not to walk away, Marcus.
So, I mean, they say he's very injury prone. That's basically what's holding him back. He's literally had something every spring, every summer since he got to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
And toe, knee, elbow, ankle. The second AFC scout said his medical evals will be absolutely crucial. But what I was kind of surprised about is like how much they like his raw ability. I was kind of in shock by that. I mean, I think Tua does have a lot of raw ability, and I think his arm is a little. Better than what a lot of people give him credit for.
Sure.
But I was kind of shocked that the NFL thought that. I got to be honest. So this says, raw ability should overcome enough concerns to get Tagovailoa, if I said that right, into the top first half of the first round. Many people around the league believe the Dolphins projected for the number 4 pick, targeted Tua a long ago. So they're saying the Dolphins are going to take him. And they say, good coordinators can mask any quarterback's deficiencies over full seasons. With timely play calling, misdirection plays, and a strong supporting cast, the quarterbacks who last a long stretch, Tua can place balls through tight windows, hitting streaky receivers over the top. If you want anticipation, throws, and accuracy, and the ability to go vertical, Tua is still the top of the list of these quarterbacks.
So let me get this right. The evaluation that you just read off mentioned that good coordinators – can mix in good play calling of play action and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. And they gave all these excuses for Tua.
Yeah.
But they said Joe Burrow can't do it because his arm's not live enough.
Yes.
So they use everything that you would use to help a quarterback whose arm, quote, unquote, is not live enough for Tua. But they don't say the same thing about Burrow.
You got it right, Chris.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I understood that and I heard that correctly.
So I mean, basically what I got from this is the NFL's higher on Tua than they are on Joe.
Which blows my mind because it starts off with saying he has had problems in the spring. He has had problems in the summer. He gets hurt during the regular season. His main issue is staying on the field, but we want him more. Is that what I just heard?
Yes, exactly what you read.
Okay, all right. No.
So that kind of shocked me too, man. I couldn't believe that they thought Tua was better than Joe. I really couldn't believe it. Honestly, couldn't believe it.
The first issue I have, and you've done a great job of bringing this up, the NFL does not like left-handed quarterbacks.
Yes.
Now all of a sudden they love one?
I guess so. Chris, I mean, they like Tua, so.
They like him a lot. You know where his best case scenario is?
I'll read you the last quote, which brings up his being left-handed.
Oh, okay.
You just brought up.
Okay, here we go.
Despite the scarcity of left-handed NFL quarterbacks, multiple NFL people interviewed say Tua doesn't get dinged for being a lefty because premier left tackles are so hard to find now. There's almost no difference.
Oh, my God.
Between the left and right sides.
If you don't have a premier left tackle,
it almost helps you a little bit. So the NFL is high on him. So he's coming out.
Oh, no, he's coming out. He's coming out. Best case scenario for him is to end up in L.A. as a Charger.
Just reading this, Chris, do you think he gets up the top five if he comes out? Right?
Based off of what you are reading right now, no, he doesn't.
He doesn't,
which will put him in a miserable position. He will fail because, the offensive line that's going to be in front of him is going to be awful.
I think he's got to sit out a year.
The guy, that's not going to happen, though. That's not how this NFL is
anymore. You're taking a flyer, so, I mean, who else is picking the top five? I don't know. It all depends on what the Redskins think of Haskins, but I think Daniel Snyder likes Dwayne more than anything. But, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't see him getting out of the top five just reading this. I don't see it, Chris.
I would agree with you. I would have to. I'm forced to agree with you. His best case scenario for him, he better pray to God he falls to the Chargers. He better pray to God he falls to the Chargers.
Which is possible. They're 5-8, man. If they lose out and they go to 8 or something, they pick 8 or 9, he could.
He's not leaving the top 5. He won't be there at 8 or 9.
Chris, I don't know. All right, Chris, now let's get to our main man. And they labeled him in this. Guess what they labeled him in this article?
Oh, I don't want to know.
The wild card, Justin Herbert. Now there's some great quotes in here.
It went from Burrow to Tua to Herbert.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
The wild card. He's the wild card now. Evaluators include Herbert in any conversation about quarterbacks at the top of the draft, and usually bring him up unprompted. Unprompted, Chris. Oh, we're talking about quarterbacks. What about Justin Herbert? That's basically what this executive said. So that's what told me this article. They didn't bring him up. They didn't come into the article. They were like, "You're gonna pick Tua. You're gonna pick Joe. You're not gonna pick Herbert." And the evaluators were like, "What about Herbert? You guys are gonna talk about him?" Chris. It's coming. We know it's coming.
Oh, my God, Marcus.
So I got some more for you. Herbert's 6'6", 237-pound frame, and seemingly effortless arm strength remind of Joe Buffalo's Josh Allen, even if his accuracy, anticipation, and footwork proved maddening at times.
So hold up. The comparison is Josh Allen, but not as good.
See,
is that what you're saying?
I don't know if they're talking about Josh there or they're talking about Herbert. I was confused.
Whose footwork is maddening? Both of them? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Both of them is the correct answer. It's not A. It's not B. It's A and B. The answer is C. All of the above.
All right. So he says he has all the prototypical things, and there are still teams that will go off measurables, one NFC exec said. There will be certain GMs who will play in the cold weather who say they will take a 6'6", 240 that will make it work. No prospect has more to gain out of the draft process than Herbert, who undoubtedly looked good in a pro day setting, which is what I said.
Well, that is 100% the best statement that they've made in this article. That is 100% the number one thing that they said that I Fully agree with.
Based on some of the traits, I'm excited to dig into him some more. NFC exec said, "Bro, he's got a chance to go one, bro. He is wild card.
You're not wrong.
He has a huge chance to go one just based on measurables. And I was talking about this. What if he wins the Rose Bowl? What if he goes to the Rose Bowl? Throws 350 yards. The Rose Bowl. He's got the Senior Bowl. I bet he goes to the Senior Bowl. I just have a feeling, just because of how good Joe Burrow has looked this year, that because if Joe Burrow goes, because there's still a chance that Joe Burrow goes to the Senior Bowl.
No, there's no reason for Burrow to go.
He might, because reading this article, Chris,
you know what?
I think he should.
Could you imagine seeing Burrow and Herbert there?
Oh, that'd be like Mayfield and Allen, like when I went the first time.
That would be something. I would love to see that. I would love to see that.
Yes, I think all of us would. Just
David,
to watch to compete every day.
David Gettleman would love to see that too.
Yeah, they
got to
put him on the same team
you,
too.
I bet you. No. That's
what they did with Mayfield and Allen. They put them on the same team.
Yeah, but there were.
And then you watch them in practice, head to head, and you can clearly see that Mayfield was the better prospect. Because he would do his reps, and then Allen would come in and do his reps.
You think they would do that? There's no way. They would pit them against each other.
Who knows, man? I don't know, Chris.
That would be something.
But they did say that there is bad enough tape out there.
Oh, you mean the
that
fact.
That will give some teams pause.
Uh-huh.
He lived in Oregon all his life. He's a program guy. I think he's a smart kid, but it'd be interesting to see how he responds to an NFL offense in a city clear across the country.
I'll tell you exactly how he's going to respond. Worse than Josh Allen did.
Yeah, he's a warm city guy. But I'm telling you, those measurables, bro. I think the one key aspect of this is the weather thing, like the Bengals, right?
Whoa! It's not all sunshine and rainbows in Oregon. There's some ugly weather that happens there.
But that's what I'm saying. So that's even you bringing that up. That's a point that
for
the
him,
Bengals might look
point
at
for him. Do not. You know what?
Big.
I hope
he can throw the ball through the wind.
I hope that Cincinnati does that.
They're
I
in
hope
the AFC North. They got to play in Pittsburgh. They got to play in
really,
Cleveland.
I really, really hope
they
do
play
that.
In Baltimore.
Please
it's clean.
Do that. Do
it's,
it.
It's not clean. It's cold. Chris, man. I'm just telling you, bro. This is going to be an interesting draft process because the best quarterback does not have the arm that the NFL wants.
But he doesn't have a bad arm.
He doesn't. But
he's not Chad Bennington.
He doesn't have an elite arm. So that's the whole thing about this whole quarterback evaluation is that he doesn't have the elite arm, but he's the best quarterback. So are they going to be able to overlook his deficiency?
I got to go back to the tape. I have to because I don't understand this not elite arm. I never saw poor arm talent out of Burrow.
That's why I think it's Matt Ryan
get
type
it.
Of arm.
I don't get it. I don't understand it.
They don't know if he could drive it through the numbers, but I think he can.
I thought he could too. I thought from what I saw that he's very capable.
It's just not like you don't see him throw like a Josh Allen throw. You don't see him throw the Justin Herbert throws. That's what you don't see. You don't see like the wow throws. But it's like it's a wow in a different ways because the play he made to make the throw
was the wow part.
Was the wow
okay,
play.
Okay, so – But
Herbert would have a throw, be like, "Oh my god!"
Okay,
and that's the difference.
Okay, I see that.
But Chris, man, we're 35 minutes in already. This is
good, because I do not want to talk about Ryan Tannehill again.
So yeah, so oh man, that's crazy. So
that was the article.
That was the article.
Those were the three quarterbacks they brought up.
Yeah, and Chase Young.
Well, they better bring up Chase Young. You know what? They didn't mention Hurns. And
you keep saying Hurns. Hurts.
I'm sorry, Hurts. Yeah, I said Hurns. You know why?
Why?
Because that's how incapable I think he is at the quarterback position.
Raiders fans want him, and I don't get it.
That the guy is a running back.
Yeah, and that's
he is Broxton Miller reincarnated.
I agree. 100% agree, but
he will not be an NFL quarterback.
He holds the Oklahoma team back a lot. They should play Spencer Rattler.
They are
I think
so
if they play Spencer Rattler, I think they might have a chance to win the whole thing.
They are so talented. They are so talented. They've got a running back that nobody talks about.
I seriously 100% feel like if they play Spencer Rattler in the playoffs, they would win.
That offense is electric.
I believe it.
Electric.
That's why everybody wanted the dude Jordan Love, who declared from Utah State. They wanted him to come out and go to Oklahoma. They wanted him to transfer. I'm like, well, Spencer Rattler's there, so you're not going to beat out Spencer Rattler. I mean, I know he's a douchebag, but I really think Lincoln Riley likes douchebags.
I mean,
I don't know. I'm sorry.
There's some characteristics in the quarterback position where being a douchebag is not the worst thing in the world.
On
the football field. Let me preface that. That's where that's gonna matter.
Yeah. So and I that's why he's playing Spencer Rattler. I think he gave Spencer Rattler a hard time because he got in trouble. He got kicked out of school. He's like, okay, so I'm bringing Jalen Hurts this year. You're going to sit out. This is going to be your punishment. But, yeah, There's no way he's not playing Spencer. All right, Chris, so let's get to some of these topics. We got another 20 minutes. Let's hurry up and get to these topics real quick. So, Spygate.
I got – I'm dumbfounded that this is the team that the Patriots are going to get busted against.
I'm dumbfounded they keep doing this.
I'm not. They're working on a database. I saw a tweet that said that they do this kind of – they've been doing this kind of stuff for a long time, and they are cataloging the play calls and the signaling from the sideline. They got a guy that literally goes into a room for the whole week, closes the door, locks himself in there to match the signaling to the play call. And I can guarantee you that if you pulled the curtain back on the Patriot organization, you would find play calls and hand signals for the entire league matched together. And you know what?
Ugh.
That's how you get a defense that's not as talented playing out of their mind and being the number one rated defense in the NFL. Now, I'm not going to say that Gilmore is not one of the best cornerbacks in the league.
He is.
But I will tell you that with what they're doing on a personnel level in the front seven, there is no way that this team should be number one rated without that kind of help.
See, I think they're taking pro scouting too far. I think that's the problem. Like, yeah, you can have
this
a pro
scout.
This
isn't scouting anymore, man. This is analytics. This is the stuff that Bill Belichick talks down on. They're getting so much data put together so that they can have this massive library to refer to. It's like a different way to do sabermetrics.
Yes. See, I look at this two ways. One, okay, so what if they're lying, right? Let's say that they're lying and they're filming the stuff to get caught. Yeah, I just think they're taking advanced scouting too far. I think that keep your pro scout up in the booth. Let them watch the signals like everybody else does. You don't need to have some guy hiding, acting like he's doing something else to get signals, whatever you want to do. I just think that. The second part of this, though, is what if they're telling the truth and they're filming the Do Your Job documentary? Now, I got a couple. Have you watched one of the Do Your Job documentaries?
Not a single time.
You know when the Do Your Job documentaries come out, Chris?
I don't, Marcus.
After they win the Super Bowl. So if they win the Super Bowl, I'm looking at this whole thing kind of funny. So you're filming the documentary for the Super Bowl at week 14? I got some questions.
This is an organization that for 10 years straight has won their division, and the worst record that they had in that 10-year period was an 11-5.
No. You are not filming your Super Bowl documentary, just in case.
No. That's what I'm sorry. I'm not giving you those statistics to say as an excuse as to why they're starting to film their Super Bowl run. I'm giving those statistics as a Marcus. They've been doing this for 10 years, and it only got them in trouble once.
It's
if
wild.
I'm only going to get in trouble 10% of the time, I'm gonna do it too.
I mean, technically, it's not cheating because it's just advanced scouting from the field. Which, I mean, it depends on how you look at it. Yeah, I mean, because technically, when I'm in the booth and I'm doing pro scouting, it's kind of the same thing that like Andy Dalton rubs his towel before he throws the football. It's kind of the same thing, but it's just a deeper dive into it.
Yeah, the guy on the sideline touched his elbow to his nose means that they're running a wide receiver down the sideline on a comeback route.
They're just getting a deep dive into it. So, I don't know, man. It's interesting. Bill Belichick, he's just diabolical. That's basically what it is. Diabolical genius.
He is the Sith Lord.
That Nick Saban, him and Nick Saban's documentary is pretty interesting on HBO. Pretty interesting, I'll tell you. How they steal from each other and stuff. And how they talk and give each other ideas all the time. It's interesting stuff. That's all I got to say, man. Interesting stuff. All right, Chris. Let's keep moving. Let's talk about let's get back to Jared Goff if you want to get back to Jared Goff. Let's talk about Jimmy G. Jimmy G.
Well, I'm going to stop you right there. Okay. What did I tell you was going to happen this week?
That they're going to – I don't remember what you said.
I told you that the Niners are going to win that game.
You did? Okay, I remember you did say that.
After losing on the road to Baltimore, there was no way this team was losing two in a row.
Okay.
There was no way. And I'll be honest.
Did you think it was this could be this fashion, though?
Like, I did not believe it would be in this fashion, no. I did not.
That game was crazy. It was crazy, crazy back and forth.
That was great.
They couldn't stop the Saints.
I enjoyed that game, man.
They could not stop
the
Saints.
That was a great football game. That is the football game that the NFL wants all the time. That's the game they want.
Back and forth, touchdown after touchdown.
Well, not only that, but there's little nuances that happened in that game that don't happen. And if you're just a casual football fan, you're not happy. That fake punt where he threw it to the gunner.
Yeah.
The rule is if you're going to be the gunner, there's no pass interference against you. There's no defensive holding. If you're going to run a fake and you're going to throw it to the gunner, good luck. That's what the NFL basically says in the rule book.
Yeah.
So what do you do to counteract that? What you're supposed to do in that scenario is take off like you're going as a gunner.
Uh-huh.
Put your foot in the ground and come back.
Yes.
That's what you're supposed to do. Because I can guarantee you no punter is throwing a fade route like Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees. So it doesn't matter. You can't try and fit a ball like those guys can.
That's Johnny Hecker, man. Maybe Johnny Hecker could do it.
Get out of here. I don't want to hear
Maybe
that.
Johnny Hecker could do it. I'm not going to say Johnny Hecker can't. I'm just saying. Johnny Hecker got it. He converts some fourth down plays.
Yeah, but it's not a fade route down the sideline with
routes.
The gunner.
But
yes.
He'd be hitting him right in the chest. I got
to
give it to Johnny.
That's fine, but that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to run those comeback routes. You're supposed to run those stop routes because you create separation just based off of the scenario.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to do what they did. And for people to get upset about the ruling, that's just the damn rule, man.
Yeah, it's the rule is the rule. But, I mean, it really bit the Saints. I mean, they also could have stopped the Niners and George Kittle. So,
oh my God, that last play with Kittle,
Chris. I didn't want to talk to you about that last play, that last drive.
That last drive was that play.
So, but
they got what was that? That was a 35-yard completion with a 15-yard face mask.
But you remember last week we talked about Cousins and the Vikings in the last drive with the Seahawks, right? And how they didn't throw the ball to Stephon Diggs. Remember how
you
we talked about that? I didn't throw the ball to Stephon Diggs. You remember that, right?
I do.
So the Niners need to score. They need a field goal. So what do they do?
They went to their guy.
On their first drive.
They went to their guy.
They throw to Kittle, incomplete. Third down, they go to Kittle, incomplete. Fourth down, they finally hit him. He goes 35 yards.
And gets a face mask.
And gets a face mask. Yeah, yeah. Field goal range.
Not just field goal range, like chip shot range.
Don't overthink this
stuff, bro. No, you're not wrong.
Like Kyle Shanahan's like, okay, it's crunch time. The best player on my offense is George Kittle. I'm going to George.
Yep.
It's not that hard. It's not that hard to think about. Like, you go to George, you make the play, you throw him the ball, right? And that's why thank you. I appreciate it. That's why Jimmy G is a little bit of a conundrum for me. You say Tua's conundrum for NFL executives. Jimmy G's a conundrum for me. Like, it's a lot of things you watch him. Is it Kyle Shanahan? Is it him? And, like, one play, it's him. The next play is Kyle Shanahan. The one play, he's, like, avoiding pressure. Or he's throwing a nice throw under pressure. But the next play, he's late. Like, he's got to make up his mind to me. Like, are you going to be consistent, bro? Like, what? Like you are really, basically, you're like a gamer who has a great coordinator. So the coordinator makes up for when you don't know what you're doing. But when you know what you're doing, you make. It's like it's the weirdest conundrum I have. Like, I don't know what to think of him. I don't know, Chris. Like, I feel like that in the NFC Championship game, he might throw four interceptions.
Oh, I could 100% see that.
He could throw four touchdowns. I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
I don't know.
He has the potential to cost his team big time in the playoffs.
But we don't know who he is.
No,
he's different
right.
every week. To be honest,
you're right.
You know, and like, I don't like how the way he processes on the field. You know, I always call him Jimmy late.
No.
I always call him Jimmy late, and I always feel like he's still late with the football.
He
a lot
is.
Of times to me.
He is. He's. I think that that statement that you made, where he will cost the Niners in the playoffs. I think he will have a big mistake.
A big mistake that just cost him. Right.
He hasn't done that yet. We haven't seen it in his career where he costs his team something so big that they can't come back from, because he's been in situations where they just overcome.
Where he has a great defense like he does now.
Well, you know what? Did you see that they had Sherman get hurt? Did you see that they lost their center?
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see that there's some injuries to the defensive line that are potentially problems? There is the opportunity for this to go very south very quickly on the Niners.
There is the opportunity. It just depends on the type of quarterback we're going to get, man. Because, like I said, this week he was damn good.
Yep.
I was watching that game.
Agreed.
He was good as hell.
Agreed.
I can't. There's nothing you really can say. You can try to nitpick, but
nope.
He was good. He found the open receivers. He was on point with his balls. I mean, he's an accurate quarterback. It's just more about, like, him being
– his timing's got
to
be there.
His timing has to be there. And if he starts getting his timing better, man, he's going to be pretty deadly. I'll give it up for Jimmy. If he gets his timing down, he could be deadly. I just haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it. So until I see, like, he's fully timed up with his receivers and he's – I know there's a couple anticipation throws that, like, I watched the Peyton Manning detail of him. He had a couple with Emmanuel Sanders. I get it. But it's not consistent. That's basically what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
a
consistent thing. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to watch that team going forward.
I agree.
Because they have the team – they should, to be honest, I know Chris is not going to be happy with this because he's a Packers fan, but I think they should win the Super Bowl. I think they're a Super Bowl team.
Have a roster for it.
They have a roster for it.
I'll agree with you.
They got the defense for it.
There's
a
lot
of running game for it.
There's a lot of teams that have a roster for it.
They got the running game for it. It's Jimmy. That's basically
it. It is going to come down to him. I couldn't agree with you more.
That's basically what it is.
I couldn't agree with you more.
And even that, I mean, Jimmy can play in the cold, too, because he went to Eastern Illinois, played New England for a little bit. So we'll see what he can do. We'll see what Jimmy does. But that was a good game, man. That was a good game.
That was a great game.
Probably game of the year, I think.
Yeah, you know what? That might be the game of the season so far. That might be it.
Hopefully we get some good playoff games this year, because the playoff games last year sucked. So hopefully we get some classics.
I
guess the championship
games
are right.
You know what's killing me right now?
Yeah.
Everything is setting up for the Patriots to do exactly what they did last year.
Oh, my God.
Everything is setting up for it.
I just want the Patriots to lose, man.
Everything is setting up for it.
I don't know, man. That offense is bad.
Just, okay. Well, they're just trying to win the division and make sure they lock up at least a 2 seed. That's all they're trying to do right now.
All right, Chris, let's keep it moving. So what do you want to talk about college football playoffs? We need to go to Jared Goff.
I think let's stick in the NFL.
Okay, let's stick in the NFL. You didn't have college. You had 30 minutes of college.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's enough. All right, so Jared Goff, back-to-back weeks, good play. I mean, the first week was it was the Cardinals. So we're like, oh, okay, yeah.
Well, I think that that sparked this last performance.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
I think that this did spark this last performance. I feel like the Rams are now in a groove where they're going to make some waves and they're going to cause some problems. They're done with Seattle, right? They don't play Seattle anymore. They got the Niners one more time.
Yep.
So I think they're done with the Cardinals too, aren't they? Or do they have the Cardinals at the end of the season?
Done with the Cardinals.
Okay, so they only have one division game left, and that's against the Niners. And I believe that's a home game.
Let me just make sure they're done with the Cardinals. No, they got Arizona at the end of the year. So they got San Francisco and Arizona at the end of the year, though.
And those are back-to-back home games, right?
No, one's at San Francisco.
Oh, it is at San Francisco?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be tough for them to make the playoffs, bro.
I would agree that it's going to be tough for them to make the playoffs, and it's going to be contingent on what the Minnesota Vikings do. Because the Vikings are the sixth seed right now.
Yep.
It's going to come down to what happens for the Vikings. The Vikings have the potential, because of their quarterback being Kirk Cousins, for them to completely blow this.
Kirk's having a good year, man.
Dalvin Cook is very injured right now.
Kirk's having a good year, man.
Don't do this.
What if they get Adam Thielen? They get Adam Thielen back.
Don't do this. I'm gonna just recommend that you don't do this.
I'm just saying, Kirk's having a good year, man.
I'm just gonna recommend that you don't do this.
He's validating my top 13 quarterback from the summer.
Okay, we'll see how the year ends.
He's validating it. How I agree with that. We'll I'm telling you, Chris.
Marcus, hashtag we'll see. I got a hashtag we'll see for him. I got a hashtag we'll see about the Seattle Seahawks, because I think over the last 2 weeks they have been exposed.
Oh my God. Seahawks look
They're going to make the playoffs. You're right. They're walking 10 wins because of Russell Wilson. You're right. They will not make a run in the playoffs.
Yeah, they got Carolina and Arizona next 2 weeks. They're fine.
They're not going to make a run in the playoffs.
They're fine. But the Rams got Dallas this week.
Goff, I think that's a win. Better. I think that's a win. That is a W in my book.
You think for the Cowboys?
The Cowboys. The Rams are winning that game.
The Cowboys are all over the place right now.
The Cowboys have given up on their head coach.
See, but Goff still threw two picks last week.
And they won.
I know that, Chris, but he still threw two interceptions. His stat lines are not impressive. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to beat the Cowboys this week.
I think that they're in a groove, and you got my lock right here, right now.
Oh, this is a lock. You're going with the lock? Oh, wow.
Rams over Cowboys.
Rams over Cowboys is a lock. I got to see where this game's at after you say that, man. Where's the game at?
It's in L.A.
Oh, no, it's in Dallas.
What? I thought it was in L.A.
No, it's in Dallas, AT&T Stadium.
Ah, whatever. Still a lock.
Still a lock?
I'm still keeping it a lock. That Cowboys team is so –
Dallas can make buzz 8-8.
Dallas is going to make the playoffs 7-9.
Well, they won't lose to the Redskins. I'm not going to say that.
I'm not putting anything.
I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to go that far, Chris. Because if they go 7-9, the Eagles are going 8-8.
Let's be careful, okay? The Eagles basically blew that game to Eli Manning. They gave away the first half to Eli Manning. Okay, the Eagles did the best that they could. Josh McCown was going to go in and play wide receiver, okay? The Eagles, they got worked by Eli Manning.
Dog.
Eli Manning came in and gave his swan song in that first half.
Dog, Dallas cannot go 7-9 because the Eagles have Washington this week. They have Dallas. And then they have the Giants again. So that game, if Dallas loses this week and they beat the Eagles, they have – step ahead. But the Eagles probably going to beat the Giants, right? They're going to beat the Giants. If the Cowboys lose to the Redskins, they ain't getting in. So, but I kind of feel like that Jared Goff's going to come back to life, come back to himself this week. I don't see them beating the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are going to bounce back.
I think the Rams are going to put a scare into the Vikings for the sixth seed in the NFC.
We'll see. I mean, maybe they fixed it up, but I just feel like he threw two interceptions last week. That was more about Russell Wilson going against Aaron Donald, and Aaron Donald just kills him all the time. So,
well, I think that the defense in L.A. is showing up to give the offense more opportunities, and I think Sean McVay finally realized that his best player on offense is Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
And he's given him the damn ball like he should have been for a long time.
Well, I mean, Todd's healthy too now. He's a little more healthier. They kind of like paced him a lot this year. Now they just give him the ball. He's just moving. He's just moving the football.
Let's just remember one thing. The Cowboys lost to the Bears, Marcus. They lost to Mitch Trubisky.
Well, that's because the Cowboys are stubborn and they don't want to get the ball to Zeke and Kellen Moore, and I guess Dak has some kind of pact or something that we're going to get paid together. I don't know what it is.
Well, I'll tell you what. They're both not going to get paid.
But you don't pass on the Bears. Like, the Bears are, like, set up. They're, like, a defense is, like, set up to stop the pass. They got Eddie Jackson. They got Ha-Ha. They got
And what does L.A. have? They got a pretty good pass defense.
Yeah.
They got a guy in the middle that can cause some destruction.
Yeah.
So
Zach Martin's a good tackle, man. A good guard. I mean, don't call me guys.
Is Martin, is he playing?
Yeah, he's playing. Him
they lost another offensive lineman, didn't they, for the season? Their other guard?
Connor Williams?
I thought he was out.
He might be.
I thought he was out. There's a lot of problems for Dallas. They're in trouble, man. They're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, they're just not very good on defense.
Dak is continuing to lose more and more money every single week. That guy's getting franchise tagged. I'm telling you.
I've been telling you.
He's not getting a new deal. He's going to get tagged. That money's going elsewhere.
Yeah, but, you know, Amari shows up at home. I just think the Cowboys.
Is he even going to play?
He'll play. I don't know, man. The Rams are crazy.
I think the Rams have all the momentum right now to make a late push. I do not. Like I said, it's going to come down to the Vikings giving up the sixth seed. That's what it's going to come down to. That's the only way the Rams get in. The Vikings blow it. And they have the opportunity to, because that guaranteed money there in Kirk Cousins' wallet is burning a hole in his throwing game.
Like I said, man, Kirk Cousins ain't that bad, man. He's not having a bad year.
Marcus, what did we just say? Jimmy came and showed up on the last drive of the game.
Yeah.
You know who doesn't show up on the last drive of the game? Kirk Cousins.
Well, that's why you avoid the last drive and just win.
Well, the only way that they're going to do that is if Dalvin Cook is healthy. And Dalvin Cook is not healthy.
I think Kirk Cousins will be okay. I think he's having a good year. As long as they keep running the play-action pass and helping him, he'll be all right. He'll be fine. All right, Chris, we're at the 57 mark. I don't think we need to deep dive into anymore.
No. I think that was good. I think that was healthy.
Hit the NFL execs.
It was a healthy showing here today.
Chris had to wait our first walk-off section.
I walked away. I had to walk away. You made me walk away, Marcus. No, you didn't make me do it. You didn't make me do it.
NFL execs made me do it.
I just cannot believe that they still have these stereotypical beliefs of what a quarterback is after being shown over and over and over again that's not how this works.
Seriously, who's the last 6'6", 250 quarterback that was awesome?
Peyton Manning.
I guess you could say Cam. I know you're not going to say that.
You're damn right I'm not going to say that.
But I would say Cam.
Uh-uh.
But after Cam, just think about it. Who's the last 6'5", 240-pound quarterback that was just awesome?
There hasn't.
This whole decade, right?
No. Cam. I mean, Josh Allen's the closest that you've got to it. Carson Wentz maybe is close to that, but he's not that big.
Carson Wentz is that big, though.
He's big, but he's not as big as Cam.
Yeah, he is, though. He's 6'5", 240. Yeah, he is that big.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah, Carson Wentz is 6'5", 240.
Yeah, big guy.
So I guess Carson Wentz is the last guy. But
injured.
I don't want to get into Carson.
What about Nick Foles, man? What about Nick? What about? What about the $22 million man?
Chris, I'm not going to say Nick Foles is better, but I still think the jury's a little out on Carson Wentz.
I'm not arguing with you.
Like people get all over Derek Carr, but him and Derek Carr basically had the same career.
I'm not arguing with you.
Like an okay rookie season, and then the second year you guys get really hot, and then you get hurt. And then the next year you break your back, just like Derek Carr did. And then now you're mediocre again. So, I don't know. I think Carson is getting number one pick syndrome, or number two pick, top five pick syndrome, where he keeps getting chances because he's number two pick. So we're like, hey, you're number two. You know, if you're undrafted playing like this, we probably get rid of you. But you're number two pick, so we can keep giving you a chance. And you're 6'5 and 240. So he was the last big prospect, like the last.
Came out of North Dakota State.
But I think he did rise in the draft because he was big too, but the jury's still out on him too. So it's just weird, man. We just got to figure out, like, these guys got to figure out something. They got to figure out how to evaluate quarterbacks. They got to figure it out. It's not the 6'6", 240 guy. It's not.
You know what? It's just going to have to happen in 2020.
I guess so.
Because we're done. This is a wrap.
It's a wrap, guys.
That's goodbye to 2019.
We'll be back in 2020 covering the playoffs. All that good stuff. Like
we got.
We might be on the road. They don't know.
Might be a road game. Maybe.
I don't know. We might be on the road.
But there's new ways to find us.
Go ahead, Chris. Drop them.
We're gonna be. If you want to find the show, you got to go to Facebook. If you want to find the show, you got to go to Instagram.
Yes.
If you want to find the show, you can keep going to Twitter.
Yes, you can.
But we got some new ways to get this information out to you.
Okay.
We're gonna be all over it. There's a lot of stuff coming in the new year.
Yes.
But we're starting right now with that social media presence.
Uh-huh.
Look for some fun posts.
Midweek
after the games, just to kind of give you a reminder that Marcus and I brought it up before the games happened.
Yes.
And hit them with the call signs.
So, you know, we got the Twitter account. We got the ALPAQB1. Underscore QB1, ALPA underscore QB1. That is the Twitter. Let me say it one more time. ALPA underscore QB1. That is the Twitter. That is the same as the Instagram, which is ALPA underscore QB1. Same as the Twitter is the Instagram. So make sure you go there. Make sure you follow us on what we got? iTunes. Hit the subscribe button on iTunes. Search A Little Pocket Awareness on Facebook. Hit the like button. Make sure you like everything that we do. Then you go ahead and you go to Spotify. Go to A Little Pocket Awareness. If you don't like iTunes, that's fine. Maybe you got an Android. I don't know. But you can go to Spotify and you can go check us out. Download there for Hit A Little Pocket Awareness. Download. Let's get it going. Check us out. We're growing every single day. Like I said, we might name this episode Growth. I don't know. I'm going to listen back. Might change the name. I'm not sure. But we're growing by the day. All right? Any last words, Chris?
No, Marcus. I loved it.
Love it. Yeah. So, like I said,
we'll be back. Have a happy new year, everybody. That's what I'm
going
to say.
Have a happy new year, everybody. Enjoy your Christmas, your holidays, your Hanukkah, your Kwanzaa, whatever you like the hell you like to do. I don't know. I don't care. Enjoy it. New Year's. We'll go, and we'll be back. We'll be talking some playoffs.
We're going to be right there,
getting
man.
Getting ready for
the end of the season.
For the draft. We'll have all the declarations by then. We'll be figuring it out. We'll talk a little bit college football playoff by then, you know, and everything. Those performances, it's going to be great. We'll be back. Check us out in 2020. We're out.